nigga shit. Sucker!
Are you ready?
What's up, everybody? This is DJ P-Yob.
What up, boys and girls? This is DJ T-Baby. This is What Are You Talking About?
Let's go!
Get it!
You sure?
Smells like a... What, mosquitoes?
Yeah.
Tacos?
Something.
I'll say it like this.
Just let that B run there.
I like it.
Yeah, good beat.
Hold on, let me play my guitar a bit.
Yeah, play the guitar right now. Right now. Alright, that's enough.
Play the cowbell, T.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, it is DJ T-Baby. I am with my friend DJ P-Yob, and this is another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu, and we have a great show for you today. P-Yob, why don't you tell the listeners what's on our agenda?
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, if you missed out on the biggest event in Dominican history, Mr. Penguin was on last weekend. Yes, it was a Saturday, I believe.
Friday.
Yes, Friday. We do love Friday. We'll give you the info on that. We have a special performance, Word Up Wednesday. That's right. You hear it every week. It's always after the first break. Word Up Wednesday with a special guest, and T-Baby is his producer.
I am the producer, and ladies and gentlemen who listen are normally used to me doing the Word Up Wednesday, rapping a little bit. Today, taking the day off from that, and we are having, like you said, a special guest, so you really want to stay tuned. He's got something very special ready for you.
And after that, of course, we have to give the info with March Madness. Everyone's bracket is totally effed up, in a way, in a sense, because no one has a 15-2 losing. We'll get to that later. We're going to give the info on the New Orleans Saints, what has happened this morning at 7 a.m., and what happened to our boy Tim Tebow.
Well, he's not my boy, but we'll talk about what happened.
We'll talk
about
him.
I despise the man. But.
And we'll see if he still plays for the Denver Broncos. We got that Would You Rather segment. We got a My Man, a Let's Go Bro. So let's just get up to the race here, and let's talk about the one and only, the Mr. Penguin event, T.
Yeah, well, just for those who don't listen, especially listeners who don't attend Dominican University, Mr. Penguin is an annual event. This is the third time it's happened, and me and P-Yob have been involved the last 2 years. Last year, we were both contestants. This year, we're the hosts, and pretty much what it is, it's essentially a beauty pageant, kind of. It's not necessarily beauty, but it's a pageant for men, for athletes and non-athletes of Dominican. Last year, I think there's 12 contestants. This year, there's 8. And there's multiple facets that are involved. There's a swimsuit portion, there's a formal wear portion, a Q&A, a talent, which is usually the audience's favorite, and that's pretty much what it is. And the proceeds go to Make-A-Wish Foundation. Like P-Yob said, it was this past Friday night, and we were the host, and I think it went pretty well.
It went really well. I'll give you the list of the contestants. Number one, Andrew Vu. He gave a good performance for Neo. Number two, we got Hugo Centeno. We'll give you the news on him later. Number three, Zachary Bencomo. He's an interesting fella. Number four, Eddie Aquino. Number five, Case Donahue. Number four, Jake Bernstein. Then you got Jonathan Glockner. Then the one, the only, D'Artagnan Meigs the third. No, D'Artagnan Tyke Meigs the third, the original player from the Himalayas.
Getting a little lost with the numbers there, P. I think it went 4-5-4. Got 19 contestants.
Well, first of all, who was your favorite contestant of the event? T-Baby, the first from Arinda.
Okay, well, okay. It's tough to say. I just want to throw out there, last year after the event, I think it was great. I don't know exactly what the formula was for the event, but it was a fantastic event, and I'm pretty sure everyone who was in it really like committed to it and had a lot of fun. This year it was a little bit different, but it's still great. It was still a great event. As the host of it, everything was pretty much a blur. P-Yob, everything was pretty much a blur.
I
don't remember exactly who did what. I know Dart did stand out to me a bit because he brought some of his teammates, and they're all so tall that like they kind of catch your eye. And he had an interesting talent, so he kind of caught my eye. Also, because he gave me a really bizarre answer in the Q&A. I'm not even sure what he answered. He was kind of joking around, so he was memorable. That's in these kind of events, you want to be memorable.
I remember you asked him in the Q&A. You asked him what's his favorite sporting event.
Yeah, I did.
Then I think I'm pretty sure he said croquet.
I don't. He said something
that involved a really round ball.
Yeah. Well, because for example, just to throw it out there, we're supposed to be provided with questions asking contestants, and we weren't, so we had to make up questions on the fly. I wanted to ask them easy ones, so I thought I'd give Dart a gimme. What's your favorite sport? He's on the basketball team. Of course, it's basketball. But then he said something. I don't know what he said. He said something, and that was hard as the host to ask questions when we didn't have any questions in front of us. Wasn't that hard, P.I.? We had to just go off the top of our dome.
Honestly, I mean, it was weird the first time because Andrew Vu was walking off stage, and I was like, hold on there, Speed Racer.
Yeah, the contestants didn't know where to walk. Like, not that it was their fault, but no one really knew where to walk or where to go. But we're not trying to throw dirt on the event. It was a great event.
No, but the thing is, we were asked in our fan mail by Andrew Vu. He asked us, what did you think about the event?
Well, we think the event was great. I definitely would say it was a lot better last year. And I'm not just saying that because me and P.F. were in it. I think it was just more smoothly organized and was just a better event for not only the contestants, but the participants, for the judges, for all people involved. But, I mean, not everything can match up to everything. Last year was great. This year was great, too, in its own right. It was different because it was in Conlon, not in Jellicoe. Different arena, different stage. But still a great event in its own right.
Let me just be the one to say this right now. It was not the event I was expecting.
Okay, I'll second that.
I'm going to say that. I wouldn't say it was a bad event. I wouldn't say it was a great event.
Yeah.
I would just put it right there, just flat in the middle, like in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
It was an event. We'll say that.
It was an event.
It was eventful.
But it wasn't the same event last year. Last year, the crowd was so energized. The
crowd was infectious last year.
Anything you did last year, the crowd laughed at. There were no boos. The crowd was never quiet. The crowd was heavenly involved. And They gave T-Baby a standing ovation after his spoken word performance.
I'll say this. And P.F., when last year you sang, the crowd very into it. I'll say this. I don't really like criticizing crowds, especially like when we were the hosts. We could have said like, oh, come on, it's a tough crowd. But you never want to criticize crowd because you don't want like the people that are watching you and you rely on for support to turn against you. But now that the event is over, while I think the crowd was pretty good, I definitely think that maybe the crowd, it's not only Mr. Penguin, but certain events, they underestimate how difficult it is for a performer or a host to get up in front of that many people. So when they make jokes or say certain things, it's always nice when the crowd just like is really into it. Because I know there's at least a few occasions where there's a lot of times the crowd laughed or was into it, but there's at least a few occasions where I said something expecting a reaction, not even in my rap, just when I was talking, expecting a reaction, didn't really get a great reaction.
Well, I mean, I don't want to criticize the crowd.
I'm just stating facts.
Oh, no, I got you. These are facts that need to be made. And trust me, T, I'm not a liar, and you know that.
And before you get involved, Pat, I just want to say the crowd was really good. Like, I am happy for the people who came to the event. It's just sometimes as a host, especially when you're not very well prepared because you weren't really instructive exactly how to do things, you're kind of winging it. It's nice when the crowd can throw you, like, multiple bones during the event.
Well, I'm not hating on the crowd. I'm just saying that the crowd was really small. I'm just going to say the rain. I'll give the rain one.
Oh, we do have a call in. Hopefully it's not a hate call because we're kind of criticizing the event, even though we're not.
First caller, you are on the air, buddy. Ah.
Hey, boys. What's Brian up? Sanchez here.
What's up, Sanchez?
Hey, I got a lot of respect for you guys. You guys are a lot nicer than me.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It was a bad event, and Peace accidentally dropped the ball on that one. You guys performed your heart out there. You got nothing back in return. And thankfully, Alex Flatoff is around, or else the whole thing would probably have never been put together. But you guys were great. I was backstage working it. Really appreciated what you guys did out there. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, man. I really appreciate it, B. But first of all, I have to agree with him. I'm going to agree with B, actually. First time I agreed with him. The crowd was bad. The crowd was bad.
Well,
I'll say that.
First of all, we appreciate B's honesty and his opinion. I don't think he said the crowd was bad. He said it was a bad event. And the crowd was just inconsistent. You didn't really know what you were going to get, because normally in a crowd, when there's a crowd involved, they'll react the same way to like everything, and you kind of have a basis and a template of how to go on and proceed. They kind of would react really hard to one thing and then be like dead silent for something else.
Yeah.
So you didn't really know what to expect.
So T, we're going to go to more fan mail. Who do you think deserved to win? Because Case Donahue's the winner.
Donahue won.
That's B. Sands. That's his team. That's his teammate.
Well,
I should say.
Again, as the host, everything was a blur. It's really hard to suggest a winner because it was a blur. I definitely would have liked to have seen maybe just some of the non-athletes get a nicer ovation, because while the crowd was fair to the non-athletes, I felt like maybe the athletes got like more of an ovation because there's more athletes in the crowd. So if an Eddie Suave or a Zach Bencomo, I think could have got more of a reaction at certain spots.
Oh yeah.
So I would have liked to. I would have liked to have seen. I'm not gonna necessarily say Case didn't deserve to win, because I think he really did well.
He did great.
But I would have liked to have seen a non-athlete in the like at least rank. Like I think Zach Bencomo could have ranked. I think even Eddie Suave could have ranked, because those guys, they did their best. Everyone did their best, so anyone who ranked has my respect. Anyone who didn't rank has my respect. What do you think about it? What do you think?
Also, I mean, Case Donahue deserved to win because he had a great talent, but I'm going to talk about just overall spirit, swimsuit, everything. Who killed it the most in every event? Everyone's just focused on this talent portion, and Case Donahue did have the two backup dancers. But D'Artagnan Meigs brought it in every event. Spirit, he was funny. Swimsuit, he was funny. He was flexing his pecs. That was hilarious. No one did that, and he was making noise like bump, 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 bump when he was flexing that pecs, and then talent killed it. Then the Q and
what? What was that
then
sound?
The Q&A, he dissed the host, which was funny. No one ever disses the
host. He dissed me.
And
but
should I quote it?
A lesser man wouldn't have played it off as well as I did. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Well, no. you won't be able to put it in context. Pretty much. Well, you go ahead. What did you say?
First of all,
he made fun of my head.
He said, "T-baby, is not as round as your big old head."
He was see the crowd doesn't get what you're saying at all. You gotta put it. They were talking about the favorite sport, and he said something about it was big and round like my head. And then I played into it by saying like my head is big, because I could have got butt hurt and mad and like just like crumble. But I just tried to go with it because the crowd. That's what it was like. The crowd felt his joke more than they felt like anything. So Dart definitely came prepared. He came with it because. He went all out for it. You know, he was just joking around. I feel like some of the contestants, when I asked them, like, the question, they would, like, give me, like, a weird look. It's like, buddy, I'm trying to help you. You got to try to help me. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. I just got to ask you this question that I'm asking off the top of my head because no one gave me a question to ask you. Just work with me. And, P, you probably feel the same way.
No, I felt the same way, but I got some help from the lacrosse boys. They helped me ask a question. To actually Jake Bernstein, that was a pretty funny question. I asked him who his favorite singer was. He said Kesha. But we'll go on to a different topic here. Favorite talent. I'm just going to be biased right here, and I'm going to say Zach Bencomo killed it on talent, probably because he's my roommate. He's been my roommate for 7 years,
yeah,
which is funny.
17 years.
Yeah, 17,
17
actually.
Years.
Yeah, and it's funny. I'm only 15. And then the other thing, Zach Bencomo did the greatest Rick Ross impression
he did.
I've seen. That was funny.
When see, if you didn't watch it, shame on you. But you, I think some of you can catch online. I know DJ AA wasn't able to make it, but he saw a lot of the event online, so it's as if he was pretty much there. So watch it online, YouTube, Facebook, whatever. But Zach Bencomo did very well in the talent portion. Crowd was feeling it. Not as much as I thought they would, but still feeling it. But then when he started doing the Rick Ross rap, really feeling it. Right when he said that first, huh, or whatever he said, crowd just went bonkers.
Once I gave him the mic and then he put on his sunglasses and his cross,
crowd went bananas. He essentially said, "Piab, give me the mic. I'm about to kill it." He said that with his body language.
Yeah.
But if you're going to ask me who did the best on the talent, honestly, even though I think Piab is a great singer, and I think him and Andrew Vu are similar in caliber, I think they both did great. I'm going to say the best talent or one of my favorite talents was Andrew singing because I respect singers. One, because I can't sing myself, and P-Ab as a singer knows that it's difficult to hit those high notes. And Andrew hit a couple of those high notes, and I just think he set the bar high because he was the first talent, and I think he did really well. I don't think anyone else sang. But then P-Ab, when he did his talent as the host, he sang and killed it, and I did some spoken word stuff. But I think Andrew did really well in the talent.
Yeah, no, Andrew Vu did really well in the talent. So after this, we're just going to drop our top three. I'm just going to say it real quick right here. Eddie Suave 3, Zach Bencomo 2, and D'Artagnan Meigs 1.
So you got Case out of the top three now?
I mean, Case did really well. His talent killed it.
For me...
But the thing is, you have to kill it in every event.
For me, this is like battle rap. Because in battle rap, I don't even care who wins. I think it's kind of an event that should even determine a winner. Mr. Penguin, I think, is about everyone just kind of coming together, the school coming together, watching an event, all the contestants putting themselves out there. I don't think a winner even matters. I think as long as you did the event and tried your hardest. So I'm not even going to rank the three. All I'm going to say is I think Zach Bencomo, maybe Eddie Suave could have easily ranked. But then, I mean, last year, me and UP, we did our best.
Yeah,
we didn't rank. You never know what's going to happen. The main thing, if Zach Bencomo was somewhere out in the world listening, the main thing is that he did the event and he tried his hardest. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You don't have to hold your no reason to hold your head as long as you try your best.
Yeah, of course. And also, Case Donahue deserves – I believe he deserves to be in the top three and even the winner. But just in my opinion, you have to kill it in every event. Q&A, Eddie Suave gave the best answer out of
all of them. Definitely gave the longest answer.
But it was funny. And talent, he showed his talent, showing his dancing skills, bringing a random crowd member in there. That was crazy.
I just, in closing, if they do have Mr. Penguin again next year, I think it should definitely be an Angelico if they can book it. Because it was definitely hard as the host in the gym when me and Piab were so far away, we couldn't really communicate. And some people in the crowd told me afterwards that it was better in Angelico.
And first of all, let's just be real before we get to this quick commercial break. PSAC and ASDU, you got to find a way to promote this event better, to bring it how it was last year.
Yeah, because last year was great. This year, maybe not as great, but
terrible.
It was still something. But we are going to take a quick commercial break. This is DJ T-Baby with DJ Piab. Another episode of What Are You Talking About? Radio.Dominican.edu. Word Up Wednesday in a few minutes with a special guest. Yeah.
I can make your bed right, girl. I can make your bed right. I can make your bed right. She got that good, good. She Michael Jackson bad. I'm attracted to her for her attractive air. And now we murderers because we kill time. I knock her lights out and she still shine. I hate to see her go, but I love to watch her leave. But I keep her running back and forth. Team. Cold as a winter's day, hot as a summer's eve. Young money thieves, steal your love and leave.
I like the way you're walking if you're walking my way. I'm that Red Bull, now let's fly away. Let's buy a place with all kind of space. I let you be the judge, and I'm the case. I'm gutter, gutter, I put her under. I see me with her, no Stevie Wonder. She don't even wonder. Cause she knows she bad, and I got a grocery bag.
Ooh, baby, I be stuck to you like glue, baby. Wanna spend it all on you, baby. My room is the G spot. Call me Mr. Flintstone. I can make your bed rock. I can make your bed rock. I can make your bed rock, girl. I can make your bed rock. I can make your bed rock. Okay, I get it. Let me think. I guess it's my turn. Maybe it's time to put this on your sideburns. He say I'm bad. He probably right. He pressing me like button downs on a Friday night. I'm so pretty, like be on my pedal bike, be on my low starch, be on my egg whites. He say, Nikki, don't stop, you the bestest, and I just be coming off the top as bestest.
I love your sushi roll, hotter than wasabi. I race for your love, shake and bake, Ricky Bobby. I'm at the W, but I can't meet you in the lobby. Girl, I gotta watch my bag, cause I'm not just anybody. I seen him stand in line just to get beside her. I let her see the Aston and let the rest surprise her. That's when we disappear and you need GPS to find her. Oh, that was your girl? I thought I recognized her.
Ooh, baby, I be stuck to you like glue, baby. Wanna spend it all on you, baby. My room is the G-spot. Call me Mr. Flintstone. I can make your bed rock. I can make your bed rock. I can make your bed rock, girl. I can make your bed rock. I can make your bed rock.
She like tanning. I like standing. She like romancing. I like rolling with friends.
She said I'm caged in. I think her conscience is. She watching that Oxygen. I'm watching ESPN. But when that show ends, she all on my skin. Lotion, slow emotions, roller coaster. Like back, forth, hold it. Hold it, hold it, hold it. She posed like it's for posters, and I poke like I'm supposed to. Take this photo if you for me. She said, don't you ever show this. I'm too loyal and too focused to be losing and be hopeless. When I spoke this, she rejoiced it. Said, your words give me open. So I closed it with your closes. I'm only loving for the moment.
She ain't got a man, but she's not alone. Miss Independent, yeah, she got her own. Hey, gorgeous, flawless. Well, that's what you are. How I see it is how I call it. Yeah, look at how she walk. Mm-hmm, she know she bad. Do your thing, baby. I ain't even mad.
You know why we ain't mad? Because this is radio.dominican.edu. Listening to What Are You Talking About with your boys, DJ T Baby, P Yob, and we got the special guest. Who is this right here? It's Biggie Bencomo.
What up?
What up, baby?
Well, we know Biggie has something special for us today.
Yeah, Biggie. I mean, Biggie, you've been out of the game for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been busy with them ladies, you know.
Ladies this time, huh?
Yeah.
I know your nephew, Zach Bencomo, went to Mr. Penguin. You went to support your boy?
Yeah, I was there.
I seen you in the back, and then I was like, yo, that your girl? And I was like, no, it's just Biggie Bencomo with too many females. How many females you have left to right?
I don't know. I don't really remember that night.
Okay, well, you got something for us today, don't you?
Yeah. There's something I wrote, you know.
All right, so this is something he wrote. So, ladies and gentlemen, Word Up Wednesday, Biggie Bencomo, show us what you got, Big Papa.
All right, here it goes. Lyrically, I am unmatched. I'd spit fire that the sun lacks. My brain is sharper than thumbtacks. These words are more deadly than a gun packed. I bring these conceptual devices. Scientists attempt analyzing what my mind is. I was so blessed as noble and righteous. Your bars are sounding weak and lifeless. If disrespect's displayed, you get the edge of blades. I'm sick to death of hate. I'm here to wreck the game. Mm. Nothing can stop me. Mess around, I'll put you on ice. Hockey. You jokers are funny. Cosby. In this ring, I'm a beast. Rocky. Shout out to your girl. Call me. You haters are salty. You're human. I'm godly. There's no disputing my calling. My nickname's Biggie. My spit game's sickly. I kill lames quickly. I'm insane, really. Your entire crew is iffy. Scratch that. I'll eat your entire crew. You're jiffy. I got a text from your girl. She missed me.
Okay.
I gave her a pair of pants for her birthday. Dickies. Let me wrap it up. You whack. You suck. With the microphone in my hand, I don't pass it once. Call me MC Hammer. I can't be touched.
Okay,
Biggie.
Yo, this is your most lyrical rap you had in your life, Biggie. I think because your type of rap from a while ago is just getting the game pumped. This is lyrics, man. This is lyrics, bars. I'll say, Biggie, inspiration. What's your inspiration?
You know, all them females out there, you know.
Well, yeah, but the rap had like a conceptual basis too. It wasn't about female, so it was like the motivation there. It had some like Vinny Paz, Jedi Mind Trick stuff in there.
Oh, you know, there's other rappers in the game that think they're it. You know, I'm trying to surpass them. You know, I'm in the studio,
okay,
working on whatever it takes to just get ahead in the game. You know,
hey, after watching that, after seeing that rap and watching it and hearing it, Biggie Bencomo, you hid from us a long time. That's why you were out of this studio for what, 4 weeks now?
Yeah, about.
He's just been writing high quality polished bars since then.
Hey, Biggie, it's been 4 months now. Haven't had a drink, and you starting to see clear now, aren't you?
Actually, I've had drinks. That's why. It helps me to think.
Well, that doesn't
know?
Mean that's totally irrelevant. That's just the Chris Renee reference that no one got. But that was great, Zach.
Biggie. I want to I'm appreciating your time for checking into the studio, but we got to take a quick commercial break because guess what? It's March Madness, people, and we're going to be talking about that once we get on radio.dominican.edu. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy DJ T-Baby. I'm with DJ P-Ab, and this is another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu.
Well, this song, Neo, so sick. We're playing this out of respect for Anderson Boo, who killed it in his talent. Oh, Mr. Penguin.
Yes, that is correct.
That is correct.
And if you weren't just listening, you missed a great rap by Biggie Bencomo. He absolutely killed it. It's like literally killed it. Like the mic isn't working anymore that he was previously using. But we're gonna transition from the rap game to a little March Madness.
Let's hear March Madness. I'm serious. My bracket is bad. It's bad.
Yeah,
now
I mean my bracket is not good, but it's like pretty bad. It was worse at first, but I've still salvaged some games. Mine's somewhat busted because Missouri lost first round ahead in my title game, so I was pretty thrilled when they lost. Sarcasm. But I did get 10 of the 16 Sweet 16s, which isn't very good, but it's like not terrible.
I think I had about 8 because I had SDSU going to the Sweet 16. I had Cal going to the Sweet 16. I had St. Mary's.
Yeah, it's called madness for a reason,
even
right?
Even Duke. I had Duke in there going to the championship.
Yeah, the game. Did you have Duke in the final?
Yeah, I had Duke in the final against North Carolina.
Well, this happens every year. You can be the biggest expert. You can know everything about college basketball, and you can have a terrible bracket. On the other hand, you can know nothing. You could pick a school because you like their mascot or because your mother's from there or some absurd random reason and do well. And my bracket's doing okay. P-Abs is doing okay. Neither of us doing great. A lot of the ESPN analysts aren't doing well. But we're just going to really just gonna go over the games that are coming up real quick. In the South region, it's going to be Kentucky and Indiana. Kentucky's a 1, Indiana's a 4. This is a rematch of earlier in the year when Indiana won on a buzzer beater. And before we get into the picks, we're just saying I hate when analysts have a game, for example, like, oh, for later on we'll get to NC State Kansas, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna pick NC State for all these reasons. No, you didn't have NC State before. You're jumping on the bandwagon. So we're just giving you full disclosure. Some of these picks might not necessarily be in our bracket, so we can't really take credit for them, but we're just gonna make them because they're happening in a couple days. So P-Ab, Kentucky, Indiana.
Oh, yeah, we'll start in the South region. I'm just going to go upset city here, Indiana over Kentucky. I know Kentucky has the best player in the state, Anthony Davis, I believe. But Indiana, I mean, these guys are the Hoosiers. They had a movie made out of them. But NC State, I'm sorry, Indiana, deserves to beat Kentucky just for the reason they beat them in the regular season. And Indiana, they're getting hot, man.
Well, I don't know if they deserve to beat them just because they beat them earlier. I know Indiana pulled the upset. I see there's no chance of this happening. One, because I have Kentucky in my Final Four. And two, it's like, fool me once, shame on, blah, 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 fool me twice. You know the saying. Kentucky, I don't think, is going to lose to Indiana twice. So I got the Wildcats here. Next game is a surprise to some. Baylor, Xavier. Baylor, I had. Xavier, if you ask me, just got a gift of a road because I think Notre Dame was a gimme. I had him over Notre Dame. And then you don't have to play Duke second round because you play Lehigh. Talk about a great path to the Sweet 16. P.F., what are your thoughts on Baylor, Xavier, a 3 versus a 10?
First of all, Baylor's too talented. I had him losing in the second round, but Baylor's really talented. I thought Baylor was definitely going to lose to UNLV, but Colorado owned them big time. But Baylor's just too talented, man. They're so athletic. They're great on defense. They could play it well, and they know how to rebound. So I got to pick Baylor here.
Yeah, I think Baylor's the consensus. I know I have Baylor in my Elite Eight, and just looking at their stats here, their whole starting lineup is in double digits. Pierre Jackson, Perry Jones III, very effective players. Baylor, as you said, P.F., they're very talented. And even before the tournament started, I figured and saw them as one of the most talented teams in the field. But they're inconsistent. Earlier in the season, they lost, I think, 3 or 4 games in a row. So you never know what they're going to get. But I don't see Xavier really beating them. I don't think Xavier even had a strong resume to get into the tournament. And I think they've had a very fortuitous path to the Sweet 16. I mean, credit deserved for getting there, but at the same time, it's a great path. We're going to transition to the West region, one of P.F.'s favorite regions.
Yeah.
It's like his third favorite out of the four.
No, first.
First favorite out of the four. First game is Michigan State, Louisville, 1 versus 4. P., what do you think about that game?
Michigan State going to take it hands down. I got him going to the Fantastic Four, Final Four, and also Michigan State. They have the great coach in Tom Izzo. They really had a tough game against St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
A very tough game.
Coached by Rick Majerus, the big man.
So this is the scary thing. St. Louis almost beating Michigan State. Louisville could take this game easily. I'll say this easily, but I'm going to go Michigan State. I have them going to my
Final
Four.
Here's where we're going to have some honesty, because I hate when people just get to this region and just make picks as if they had them all along. I have Long Beach State in the Sweet 16. I had Louisville beating Davidson and losing to Long Beach State, which in my mind is not a bad pick. LB State was my sleeper, but now it's Louisville. I have Michigan State in this game anyway. I have them in my Elite Eight losing to Missouri, which at this point seems unlikely considering they lost to Norfolk State. But I'm going to go Michigan State in this game. But as you said, P, it's March Madness. We didn't say that. But as you said, Louisville is a solid team coached by a great coach, as is Michigan State. But there could be upset city there. But when it's 4-1, it's not much of an upset. Michigan State, I think, is going to take it, though. And the next game is Marquette, Florida. And, P, I know you've been high on Marquette all season long.
I'm telling you, Crowder is a... This you could put him in any position and play well, even center. He could play center.
He's a beast.
I'll just say you put him on the two, he's too big. You put him on the three, too big and too quick. You put him on the four, he may be too small, but he's fast. I like
And you
Crowder.
Put him in the coach and he's too smart.
Yeah, he's too smart. You put him in the stands and he's too loud. But Crowder is amazing. And what's great about Crowder, he could pull off the dreads like anyone I've seen. Pulls it better than Lennox Lewis against Mike Tyson.
Here's what I don't like about Crowder's game, though.
What's that,
As T? Good as he is, the man pulls 5 threes a game.
Okay.
And then this is, and he's 35%, which is okay.
Solid.
But not solid, okay.
Okay, okay.
When you're around the low to mid-30s, and you're taking 5 a game, transition. But I'm not going to criticize the man. He's averaging 18-8, and he's the heart of the team.
And he's a lottery pick.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe undersized for the NBA, but definitely NBA talent. But I just would like him to take less threes, but he shoots 50% from the field. The player I'm looking out for, and you've been big on all season, he's probably their best player, or you could say Crowder's better, but Darius Johnson Odom scores 19 a game, even shoots 39% from three, which is solid. Marquette's dangerous. I knew they were dangerous going in. I had him Sweet 16 losing to Marquette, but I was honestly tempted to pick Marquette here. I know my mom picked Florida in her Final Four, which at the time of the pick seemed outrageous, but now is looking reasonable. So PM's got Marquette. I think Marquette will take it, but who knows? East region, Interesting matchup here. Syracuse, Wisconsin. Pia, what do you think?
Syracuse with Fab Melo out of there. I don't know. Syracuse is still a better pick than Wisconsin. I had Wisconsin out of the first round. I'm not sold on Wisconsin. I don't think they're a good team. And I think they didn't even deserve to win the championship in their region. And I think that Syracuse is coached well by Jim Boeheim.
Not sure what you mean about the championship, but I know you were on that New Mexico hype. You had Wisconsin losing first round. I originally had Wisconsin in this game beating Vandy. After Vandy became such a popular pick, I chose Vandy to beat Wisconsin, which I regret. Well, Wisconsin can win it because they're the best defensive team in the country. That's a fact if you judge stat by stats. Syracuse, freakishly inconsistent. Well, not, they only lost two games, so they're not that inconsistent. But, I mean, inconsistent in terms of you never know what you're going to get. They're so talented that even when they are inconsistent, they win the game. But, honestly, Wisconsin could take it, but I have Syracuse in my Elite Eight losing to Ohio State, so I got Syracuse beating Wisconsin. Bottom half of that region, it's Cincy, Ohio State. A lot of people had Florida State here. Cincy pulled the minor upset. I mean, when it's 6-3, I don't consider that big of an upset. But Florida State was a popular pick. And now it's Cincy, Ohio State. Battle of Ohio is here. Pia, what are your thoughts on this one? It's an interesting matchup.
First of all, I'm mad because Florida State was a great defensive team, and they let me down against Cincy. But honestly, Cincy's a great pick against Florida State. But we'll go to the real game now. Ohio State, I believe, will take it with Jared Sullinger in the paint. They have great guards to go around with Sullinger. The guards can shoot the three ball well, but Sullinger could shoot the mid-range J. I wouldn't say consistently.
A little bit. And he shoots threes now a little. He steps out.
Yeah, he's 6'9".
But honestly, on Cincy, you're a big fan of Cincy big man Yancey Gates.
I am, which is funny. I am a fan of Yancey Gates.
Even, ladies and gentlemen, after the big fight between Cincy and Xavier, this PF came up to me. He said, I know Yancey Gates made a mistake in this fight by throwing punches, but the man is a great player and his heart is in the right place. So this is PF told me, just you got to give him a chance to redeem himself. And PF, I'll be darned, he's redeemed himself. You were right.
I think I told you Yancey Gates should just be thrown out of Cincy, especially after the coach said, I don't see any of my team members allowed to be in a uniform again. Yancey Gates is a bad man.
After the brawl, he said something like, I'm trying to see who's going to wear Cincy uniform. Yeah. he said something like that. And then pretty much all his star players returned. So way to go on your word, coach.
But the funny thing is, Yancey Gates is great.
He said, I'm trying to see if I'm still going to wear this coach jacket. No, he didn't say
no,
that.
No,
he didn't
no,
say
he
that.
wanted to coach. He wanted to be the owner of Cincy.
He said, I'm still trying to see if we're going to be in the Sweet 16, and coach, you made it.
I don't think he said that either.
Okay, he didn't say that.
But Yancey Gates, my man.
But the fact of the matter is, as good as Yancey Gates is, and he has the heart of a lion, literally the heart of a lion, Cincinnati is playing Ohio State. Ohio State, a great buddy of mine goes to Ohio State, and he's been big on them for years. I have them in my Final Four. Even though I had Missouri, I still have three of my four alive. There's no basis for Ohio State losing this game. The last few years, they've struggled in the tournament, but they should just handle Cincy. It'll be a close game because both teams play great defense, but Ohio State, the Buckeyes, Buckeye Nation, the Ohio State University, I can't even speak, and I go to a university, should defeat Cincinnati. We're going to go right to the Midwest.
Buddy, huh? Matu?
Yeah, my buddy. Okay. My buddy goes to Ohio State.
Okay.
In the Midwest, we got North Carolina and fan favorite crazy pick Ohio.
How's that a fan favorite team?
Because they're the underdog.
Okay.
And fans love an underdog. But North Carolina, the one, playing with or without you. That's a U2 song. Kendall Marshall. I heard he's going to try to give it a go with a broken wrist. North Carolina, Ohio. Pieb?
North Carolina.
Going upset city or are you going with the favorite?
No, I'm
going
to go with the favorite, North Carolina. McAdoo, great.
Yeah, McAdoo, a good role player.
Yeah, great role player.
Especially as a freshman.
I like Tyler Zeller.
Yeah, ACC Player of the Year.
Harrison Barnes, fantastic.
Yeah, top three pick when he enters the draft.
And I'm telling you, North Carolina, most talented team in the darn tournament.
Okay, I wouldn't say darn tournament. I would say darn tournament. But North Carolina, you said a mouthful. North Carolina is, bar none, the most talented team. Earlier we said Baylor's talented. Wow. I feel like, have you seen the movie The Long Shots with Ice Cube?
Yeah, I
see. Well,
that's a great movie.
In the preview it says, ain't nobody got heart like we got heart. I feel like Ryan Williams is saying, ain't nobody got talent like we got talent. Because North Carolina has talent for days. They have three starters that will be lottery picks next year.
Name them.
Harrison Barnes, John Henson, Tyler Zeller. If they're not lottery picks, they should be.
John Marshall should be a lottery pick.
Not John Marshall, Henson. It's Kendall Marshall, who I don't even know if he'll be an NBA stud, but has the talent.
He will be.
Okay, well, I'm going to get back to the game. I don't know, Biab. You're on something else right now. North Carolina, Ohio. I have North Carolina winning the whole thing.
I do, too.
I had them cutting down the nets. Roy Williams weeping like a baby because he won another title. So as great a run as it's been for Ohio, the slipper no longer fits. North Carolina is going to grab that slipper and break it into two pieces and defeat Ohio. And next game, this is what I'm going to speak on for days here. But it's NC State, the 11 seed, taking on Kansas, the 2 seed. Winner faces North Carolina, Ohio winner. Piab, who you got here?
I'm just going to say I'm not going to jump on no bandwagon, T, because I had SDSU beating NC State in, I think, the first round. But I was never big on Kansas. I believe they choke in every
tournament game.
So I'm just going to go NC State. Kansas chokes,
fellas. Why not? Why not go with NC State?
Oh, okay. Because Kansas chokes?
No, that's what I'm saying. Kansas has a history of choking. I mean,
choke artist. They lost to VCU last year.
And the year before lost to Northern Iowa, second round, and Kansas was my winner that year. You're absolutely right. Kansas is vulnerable.
Okay. No, they are. Okay.
They're vulnerable. They're prone to the upset. And NC State, for those of you who don't know, I've been a diehard NC State fan all my life. As long as I've been a Warrior fan, a Cal basketball fan, as long as I've been an A fan, I've been an NC State fan. So nobody tell me anything. No one come up to me and say, oh, you're on the Wolfpack bandwagon. I'm not on the bandwagon. The last time NC State had a tournament run, last time they were even in the tournament, and last time they won a game, made the Sweet 16, 2005 with Julius Hodge. So this is about six, seven years later, and they're finally back in the tournament. And they struggled at times this year, but they started playing well towards the end of the year. They had a pretty tough schedule, didn't really win any quality games except for they won at Texas, lost all their games to ranked opponents. But late in the season started to click. They beat Virginia, and then they lost to North Carolina in a very controversial game. They actually, I think, should have won that game. The refs really blew it, but they played their hearts out, got into the tournament. Favorable matchup with San Diego State, got the win. I had them beating Georgetown. So I think I deserve to speak on this because I did actually have NC State in my Sweet 16. Now, to be realistic, I do have Kansas beating NC State. Because, Piab, that's fair.
No, it's fair. You're a diehard fan, and it's tough for diehard fans to actually pick an 11 seed to win it all. I mean, this is fair. They're 2-11.
If you would have told me that NC State and Kansas would for sure be playing before the tournament started, I would have probably picked NC State. The reason I didn't is because I don't want to put an 11 in my Elite Eight when San Diego State could have easily beat them first round because San Diego State's a talented team. NC State got through San Diego State, upset Georgetown in a great game. I actually really like NC State to win this game because I think Kansas, as you said, Piab, you said it all, prone to the upset, vulnerable. Those are your words, not mine. NC State, I think, has a good chance of taking it. All five of their starters are in double digits. Lorenzo Brown is a 6'5 point guard. He knows when to push the offense, push tempo, knows when to slow it down. CJ Williams, a senior, didn't play much his first 3 years, now has a very important role as a senior, averages over 10 a game, and was huge against Georgetown playing well.
Yeah.
Then you got Scott Wood, the sharp shooter from Indiana, shoots about 40% from three. And, Piab, you're big on this guy.
I just like it because it's a nice release. Almost reminds me of Mookie Blaylock.
Yeah, he has a nice release. And the thing that you don't know about Scott Wood, many people listening don't know, he's a great defender.
Decent.
He can lock you up. And then you got CJ Leslie.
I like
and
Leslie.
Richard Howell is the 4-5. Leslie is an NBA prospect. He's been criticized for his lack of work ethic and poor attitude. And his name is CJ Leslie. When Mark Godfrey came in, he said, I'm going to call you Calvin. I'm going to leave that baggage that you don't have a good work ethic. You have a bad attitude. You don't deserve to be here. I'm going to leave that with CJ. I'm going to call you Calvin Leslie. And also, there's another CJ on the team. But Mark Gottfried, what it shows is he has a great relationship with his players. And he was criticized when he took the job because he had been off for about 2 years, his hiatus. NC State kind of went out on a limb. But if you ask me, they didn't because he's a great coach. Got Alabama to the Elite Eight. If you ask me, Mark Gottfried's done a great coaching job, and CJ Leslie at the four, Richard Howell at the five, they kind of each play each position. I like them against Kansas. I think there's some favorable matchups. Kansas is definitely the better team, but NC State is clicking at the right time. They get hot. They're getting hot at the right time. So it's as long as it's a great Sweet 16, I'll be happy. And NC State has overachieved to reach this point, but I'm just saying, if they win and reach the Elite Eight and I post it as my status, don't you dare criticize me as a bandwagon fan. I've been through the ups and downs with this team, mostly downs. This year is an up. PM, I'm done. I'm done with March Madness. That's all I got to say.
We're going to make T-Baby cool down. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You listen to What Are You Talking About? If you like what you're hearing from DJ T-Baby, call in the studio.
Yeah, call in.
Maybach Music. Stay tuned. Radio.
We the park. We just wanna bow. Selling to get a car and don't know what it's called. Foul, but the referees don't get involved. It's the finals and my dogs came to take it all. With that, I'm LeBron. Quarter milli for my car and that's on the Quran. You running with me, or you better run 2 times for you. Cause you know who number one. Is it all in my cars? They say my autumn is sick. Just bought a healthy Chappard. This a 10 million flip. So what you talk? 100 million off the rip, the definition of boss. She can tell how I'm ballin', that I'm just getting started. Yeah, I took in advance, put 20 keys in the project. Had to school my lieutenant how to make my deposits. Die every time that chopper come out the closet. And I pride myself, I'm getting money in the streets. I ride myself, I'm the one you gotta see. I bring it straight to your door. Do you like it, Manolo? When you flashing that money, them people flashing your photo. No, I'm throwing these bras, cause I'm flashy as Five live in maze, my crib nastiest. My money on another level. My money on another level. She no ordinary. Woo! Yo, we ordinary.
Hating with them. That's a flagrant foul. I'm posted with that chain of white. The smoker says, yeah. Play I want his head. I'm talking 85. I tell my shooters, go and get them. They gon' make a cow. Riding in the wheels of fortune, and I made a vow. I won't ever let these rappers take my style. My dogs grind and chop them bricks, and then they take a bow. Throw a banana in the AK, and I make it smile. Blah. Play Griffin on these rookie of the year. This ordinary shit on these. And I heard that they be hating. I ain't tripping on these. Make it rain all on them. Have it tripping on these. Yeah. Louboutin kicks. They my ball sneaks. 30 pair Michael Jordans, what they cost me. Louboutin kicks. They my ball sneaks. 30 pair Michael Jordans, what they cost me.
My money on another level. My money on another level. She ordinary. Woo! Yo, we ordinary. My track got ups, jumping till it need a crutch. Got birds flying around like Mr. 23 himself. You wanna eat, I got the food. Come and see the chef. We ain't playing by the rules. Put the toolie on the ref. Score the foul line. Being high by the eye now. When I get the gookin', only 3 numbers to dial now. Skunk screaming loud, trying to speak a whole sound now. My heart so hard, the cookie need a power drive. Woo! I'm AAA arrogant, that attitude. Holly down south, right on our last avenue. Woo! This the dead end, got a killer fit in. So Poppy, I can move it if he can bring the shit. LeBron's 501s, white tee, hood rich. I got cheerleaders too, and everyone a hood. And the whip, the color, yeah, yo, when that motherfucker form. Whip, the color, yeah, yo, when that motherfucker form.
My money on another level. My money on another level. She ordinary. Woo! Yo, we ordinary.
My money on another level. My money on another level.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's DJ T-Baby and DJ P-Ab, and this is another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. We got about 10 minutes till Lady Madonna is going to step into the studio and deliver her show. So, P-Ab, what do you got for us?
First of all, we got to go on to this big rant about Sean Payton. Sean Payton, the head coach for the New Orleans Saints. He got suspended for 1 year for this bounty scandal. And if you don't know what bounty is, I'll explain to you. They're basically paying their the Saints defense to injure someone. If they injure someone, they get paid, let's say $5,000. And if you get them out of the game, you get paid $10,000. You get them out for a few plays because your hit was so bad, you get paid like $500. I believe that Sean Payton deserved to be suspended for a year. And I'm just going to be real here. He deserved to tear his ACL. In the regular season, because this is bad. Just hurting someone who's a third string cornerback, and you're getting paid $500 to get someone out for three plays. I'm just gonna say it's unprofessional. The NFL has no need for this. Just Sean Payton, it just disgusts me, especially in Greg Williams. You don't know what's gonna happen to him. He may be out of the league from what people have been telling me. Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator for the Saints, by the way.
Yeah, well, honestly, you make a good point about the ACL of Payton, because while you never wish injury on anyone, that's karma. If you are overseeing a system in which players are encouraged to hurt other players or take them out of the game, and you tear your ACL as a coach, I can't think of a more fitting karma.
Look, you get paid for it. I know I've been watching NFL Live for years now. This is my 19th year watching it. But the people in NFL Live... Let's just say Mark Schlereth, Mike Golic. Some of these guys are defensive players. Darren Woodson. They're saying that these hits, they'll happen. But you're not going to – if you're getting paid to hit these guys, you're going to want to hit them hard, and you're going to aim for places you will never aim as a player. I don't care if you did play the game, but if you're getting paid to hurt someone, you're going to get in there to hurt them. Like Kurt Warner was out of a game for a time in the national championship against the Saints.
What it does, it essentially invalidates the game, because when you see a top 10 playing SportsCenter, it's a hard hit. You're like, great, that's a hard, clean hit. But then when you know players are intentionally trying to injure other players, it no longer looks like even a hard hit. You can't even appreciate it as a hard hit. It's a malicious hit. Because maybe, say, Darren Sharper, for example, hit someone with a hard hit. And the player's fine. Okay, he's fine. Then it looks like a clean, hard hit. But he could have, in reality, been trying to injure him. So it essentially invalidates the game. And ESPN analysts have been mixed on this. I know some guys like Steve Young despise it. Other guys are defending it. Yeah. I never played organized. I'm a big football fan, but never really played organized football. I never played tackle. All I know is there's no place in the game for paying players to injure other players. So I love the fact that Sean Payton has been suspended for a year. I think it's awesome.
No, it's stupid. It's stupid to have this in the game. This is a defensive player, a very liable source. Teddy Bruschi said it needs to get out, and the commissioner, Roger Goodell, did something right for a change.
For a change, yes.
For suspending Sean Payton for one whole year.
Yeah, and they're setting the precedent, setting the standard here. That's why it's such a severe and harsh punishment a year. There's also financial fines and draft picks being taken away. But the 1 year pretty much says if anyone does this again, it's going to be the same if not worse. So they're trying to just really lay down the hammer here, which I love. Greg Williams, I say suspend him for life because this wasn't his first time doing it. And I don't even know how much Sean Payton knew. I think he knew a lot, but I think Greg Williams was really orchestrating this entire thing, and he's done it before. So kick him out for life. He can go to the AFL or whatever.
Yeah. Well, here it is. Would you rather?
This is our transition in here.
Transitioning before Lady Madonna gets here. Would you rather be a part of the Patriots Spygate or be a part of the New Orleans Saints bounty program?
That's a great question. I'm going to take the Spygate because, if anything, the Spygate's actually kind of clever.
Okay.
Like, I know it's drastically illegal and against the rules, but the bounty system, like, you're hurting players. I know Brett Favre was one of the target players. He doesn't even care. I think that's crazy. Like, I think the Spygate was kind of funny because it's like Bill Belichick would do this. The Patriots would do this. So I'd rather be involved in something like that, not something malicious where you're intentionally trying to injure people.
I'd rather be part of the bounty program.
Yeah, you want to strap up, put that helmet on.
I'll tell you, if I get to pay $10,000 to injure someone, I'll do it. $10,000 is a lot of money. Maybe $100,000 if it's a big one.
Speaks volumes on your character, honestly. That explains a lot.
Well, also, here's the next would you rather. Would you rather get slapped in the face by a sneaker or get punched in the face by a boxing glove?
It's always with slaps.
What?
Like,
there's no slaps.
You have a fetish for being slapped?
No, I don't.
That's what it sounds like. What was the first one? The slap in the face?
Slapped in the face by a sneaker, get punched in the face by a boxing glove.
Who slaps with a sneaker? I don't know the glove, because who wants to be hit with a sneaker?
Yeah, that hurts.
Dirty, been walking around all day?
I did boxing before and I got punched in the face. Not that bad. No, it's actually really bad.
Yeah, well... That's the last would you rather, because we got to get to my man and let's go, bro.
Okay.
My man, I was talking about him earlier for this week, Mark Gottfried, head coach, North Carolina State basketball, took over the job after a couple years out of basketball. He was an analyst and was not on the sidelines. He did a great job, because this is a pretty young, talented but young NC State team under Sidney Lowe, had no success with some of the same players. Mark Gottfried came in his first year, he's got the team to the Sweet 16. If they beat Kansas, they'll be playing for a Final Four.
Yeah.
How amazing is that? And North Carolina State is an historically rich basketball team. They've won two national titles, so it's nice to see them back to that standard in the Sweet 16. Mark Gottfried, you're my man. P.E.B., what else you got?
Man, first of all, I got to say, man, let's go, bro. That's a new segment. Hey, man, you're on Let's Go, Bro, last week. You'll be again this week. Why in the blue moon would you choose the Denver Broncos, man? You're in the coldest spot in the United States.
Is that a fact?
No, but I got to tell you
this. But it is cold.
You signed with the San Francisco 49ers. You have a shot at the Super Bowl, especially with that defense. Patrick Willis all day. Go Niners!
Well, I want to speak on that for a second. Denver is the worst option of the three. Should have gone to Tennessee or San Francisco. I'm shocked he went to Denver. I know for him, maybe he wanted to be with Elway or whatever. Why didn't he go to the Niners? That's what DJB's on. That's what you're on. Why not go to the Niners? They have one of the best defense in the NFL. If he went there, they could have been the Super Bowl favorite.
That'd be Super Bowl favorite right now, man.
Denver, not even a playoff guarantee. But that's what we're ranting on today. It's T-Baby and P-Eb. It's been What Are You Talking About? radio.dominican.edu. We'll be back same time next week. Lady Madonna will be on in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. Thanks.